Welcome to this podcast. I'm Pat Brennan. Today we're going to talk about the practicalities of embedding ICT into the curriculum on a school-wide basis. And I'm delighted to be joined by Anne McMurrah, primary teacher, whose school recently has taken this road. You're very welcome, Anne.
Thank you very much, Pat.
And you've been teaching in Martin de Porres in Aylesbury in Tala now for the past 9 years. As a matter of interest, when you arrived there, what was the computer set up like? Was there any computers to be seen at all?
Okay, at that stage, the teacher who was responsible for ICT was very good. She had set up a computer room, which was very much in keeping with the kind of the pattern, I suppose, of the day. She had it well set up, and the classes used to go to the computer room at a certain time once a week. But due to lack of funding within the school and lack of funding for computer technology, over time the equipment dated, really. It became up to 12 to 15 years old in certain cases.
Archaic.
Yeah, and there was very much a focus on software, but it wasn't really updated, although the intention was to push on the use of ICT and, you know, the more creative aspect to ICT, but it just wasn't possible at the time.
Right. But I mean, that the computer room model, I mean, was, I suppose, very, very much widespread at that point. Just as a matter of interest as well, Anne, at that point, did every class teacher in the school take their class up for that set period at the computer room, or did you have, you know, a teacher or somebody taking the groups in the computer room?
Every class teacher took their own class. They took responsibility for taking their own class to the computer room. We didn't have the facility to have an ICT teacher as such. Okay. As an independent teacher at that time.
So there would have been a relatively... you know, most teachers would have been relatively skilled or would have good ICT skills.
Well, I think a lot of teachers were very happy to take their classes based on the fact that they had certain software that they could use with the class. I suppose it would be fair to say that if we were to use the technologies such as Web 2 technologies today, teachers might not be as keen. Okay. To say, for example, take a class to do blogging or podcasting. So for the time, a number of years ago, it worked very well. But I think, to be fair, technology has moved on a good bit, and it's kind of become a little bit more challenging in that we don't focus as much on particular software packages now as we would have done in the past.
Well, it's true. I mean, I suppose it's the you're moving teachers out of their comfort zone. That has, as you're outlining there, it has its own set of difficulties of bringing people along. But I suppose what we need to focus on, the idea of this podcast, is just to get an idea of how things changed and how you were involved in this change. What was the, when and what was the impetus for change?
Okay, over the last 3 years, we've made quite a number of changes with regard to ICT usage within the school. I suppose the point at which it changed was our ICT coordinator was appointed to deputy principal, and myself and another teacher took over responsibility for the running of the ICT within the school. And the three of us agreed that the ICT needed to be moved forward. At the same time, I had started a master's in education at UCD School of Education with Dr. Conor Galvin, who was my supervisor. And he introduced me to a huge number of new technologies that I had absolutely no experience of, to be perfectly honest. The other teacher who I was working with as sharing the post of responsibility for ICT integration, she had a much greater knowledge of the technologies. But between us, we worked we kind of worked out, you know, just even the simplest things like how to use digital images, how to use simple video, how to maybe set up a blog, just little things. We started off with very, very simple things within the classes, within our own classes. I think for me personally, one of the big changes was at the time when I did my MEd, I was asked to do an assignment and I had to use some piece of technology or do something with it, with the class that I had at the time. And the class that I had at the time was junior infants. So I thought, how am I going to do this or do anything with a junior infant class that's not focusing specifically on the likes of a piece of software? So I was introduced to e-twinning. And e-twinning is, it's available, the information's available at e-twinning.net. And it's a way of linking a class in Ireland to a class in another European country. But the focus is not specifically on technology. Its focus is on maybe a project that two classes or more than two classes can share. So this really appealed to me because I could take a cross-curricular theme and I didn't have to be necessarily using a whole range of technologies. I used maybe one or two technologies, but I integrated it within the class and I could do it within the classroom as well as take the class for specific activities to the computer room. So I was kind of hitting both sides of the argument, if you like, on the whole debate over computer rooms or computers in classrooms and integration and all of that. Yeah. So that had a huge knock-on effect within the school because the project took off and the children loved it so much that they started to tell anybody and everybody really who came through the door about this project. And the other teachers suddenly looked at it and said, well, you know, tell us a little bit more. Is it possible to do it with my class? And of course, the beauty about e-twinning is it's possible to do it with any class in primary or secondary school.
Yeah, but and so from that, your initial beginning with that, what more teachers obviously got involved, are they in e-twinning projects?
Yeah, more teachers the following year then got involved in their own particular way. So it wasn't necessarily the project that I did. They were able to choose a project that suited their class level. So, for example, the following year, a sixth class teacher linked with a school in Poland and she focused her project on art. And they, between the two classes, they exchanged ideas about the art project that they wanted to do and they exchanged actual pieces of art, but they took photographs of it and they did it digitally using the email, just simple email. Yeah. But eTwinning has an opportunity within its website called the portal to actually have share work through a twin space, which is a lockdown private area where classes can access information, share information, and be protected from things that are out on the net or you know, people coming in and having a look at their work. So a project like that really opened up the possibilities within the school.
Yeah.
For other teachers to see simple ways of using technology, such as even just taking photographs, exchanging emails, maybe writing on a blog, which is also available within the eTwinning website, or creating or writing on a blog, a school blog, for example.
Yeah, it's interesting because, I mean, it's obviously the direction we need to be going. I mean, you went from one extreme to the other, the kind of standalone computer room where kind of computers, I suppose, in inverted commas, is seen as kind of a separate subject where you're bringing the technology into the classroom, which is, I think, absolutely crucial. But the question I'd have on that, you know, you start, I suppose, more to integrate the technology from into the classroom, but you must have obviously had to invest in quite a lot of new technology. And what were the priorities when you set out on the road 3 years ago as regards hardware?
Okay, well, the hardware that we had, as I was saying, was up to 12 to 15 years old. So our initial priority, we didn't really want to focus on hardware, but we had to focus to a point where we had to get it up and running so that teachers could, you know, just use hardware to activate new innovative technologies. So what we did was we replaced the very old PCs in our computer room and we at least we had a working computer room the teachers could take their classes to.
Right.
We then had a number of, I suppose, hard drives that weren't being used, so we put them into classrooms, mm-hmm. so teachers had access within classrooms. We had to fundraise quite heavily, and we put 4 interactive whiteboards into classrooms, one in each of our blocks. Our school is divided into 4 blocks. And the idea there was that the teachers, say if there was one interactive whiteboard in a classroom, the teachers, there would be four teachers in a block. There would be 4 teachers in a block, and they could maybe share the interactive whiteboard. So if a teacher was gone to the hall for PE, another class could maybe move into their room and use the technology in a classroom setting, as opposed to have to go out to the computer room, which meant that it gave them more access to the technology as opposed to maybe just having one half-hour slot in a week in a computer room.
How many classes are in the school?
Okay, we have 15 current classrooms at the moment, which are mainstream classrooms, and then we have 6 other rooms which have special needs or language support of some sort.
So, I mean, with the kind of money you would have been spending, you would have been able to put in a projector, per se, I suppose, and a laptop and a wireless keyboard rather than the interactive whiteboard. Is there a reason that you just that you chose to go down the interactive whiteboard route rather than, I suppose, static projectors?
Well, that's a very good question, Pat. What we did was we had a couple of floating projectors, and we had started with those initially just in the months before we put in an interactive whiteboard. And while we found that they were great for bringing the internet into the classroom, we found also that they weren't interactive enough.
Right.
Now, there are arguments, I suppose, to be made for and against the interactive whiteboards, but they have actually proved to be very popular because they engage the children in the activities. But I have to say, personally speaking, I wouldn't be in favour of using them all day long. I think there should be a balance of how they're used, and especially I wouldn't be in favour of them being used like a blackboard, for example.
Yeah.
So that's something that I personally would like to work on more, because I have an interactive whiteboard in my class, and there is quite a big learning curve attached to using them.
Yeah.
So I'd say it'll be another year or two before I kind of really get comfortable with the interactive whiteboard.
But is the plan, and you know, eventually down the road, fit out every classroom with an IWB, yeah?
Yes. At the moment, the most up-to-date situation in the last couple of weeks is, thanks to the government funding, we've been able to now add a digital projector and a laptop to each classroom. So now each room is set up with some
laptop,
sort of digital projector or whiteboard. And then the plan over time is to add more whiteboards, but on a rolling basis.
Yeah.
And this also gives teachers, rather than just saying to teachers, you know, there's now an interactive whiteboard in your classroom, go and use it. It kind of, it slowly permeates the idea through the school of, you know, ways of using it. And then that has a knock-on effect to what I'm really focusing on, is encouraging teachers to share resources and to, you know, to maybe help each other out or to give each other ideas. And it's funny because this year in particular, I've really noticed that that's been happening. And I think that there's a little bit of an influence there from the fact that we've had an interactive whiteboard. We've had 4 of them in the school for almost a year now. And teachers are now seeing the uses of them within the blocks, and also that digital projectors have now been installed. Teachers are looking now at the possibilities rather than the obstacles that maybe have may have stood in their way in the past.
I think, in fact, that's an important point. I was going to raise that, which is, you know, I mean, in some ways that's a quantum leap, because, you know, I think once people get beyond that, the barriers to integrating ICT and start looking towards the positives. And I do think it's when it kind of, they realise that this will help them do their job better and do it more efficiently. But that's a question. I mean, like every school, Anne, I'm sure there were a few doubters, a few reluctant people that were saying, how did you bring these people along with you over the 3 years? Or have you brought them along?
Well, we're working on it. I'll put it to you like that. There are, of course, I think in a lot of schools, teachers who will say, you know, I won't be able to do that, or I'm no good at technology, yeah. or whatever. My colleague who was working with me on the ICT is on a career break now, so I've been working on this without her help for the last year, but she's been touching base with me on a regular basis, and we both agree that small steps are extremely important.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So what came from the e-twinning, and I don't want to keep coming back to that, but what came from the e-twinning project was that we were very conscious, and my principal would be fully behind me on this, of not wishing to inflict, for want of a better word, the new technology or project ideas such as e-twinning onto teachers who were not ready for it.
Yeah.
What we tried to do and what I tried to do with my project was to showcase the work that we did, to say we took it out of the classroom. So we made a big wall display for the hall. We invited teachers in to have a look and see what we did. We invited classes in to have a look and see what we did, which had an interesting effect, because suddenly teachers and children, very much so the children, were asking, you know, how can we do that? How can we get involved?
Yeah, yeah.
So we very slowly planted the seed, really,
yeah.
and then we provided the support, you know, get a way into a project or get an idea of how to use digital images in, say, for example, something like Photo Story, or how to start their class working on something simple like Tux Paint. That it was important that there was support there for the teachers. It's not a formal way of supporting them. It was more an informal way of supporting them, a chat over coffee at break time or whatever. And it worked. It is working well, but there's huge development still to happen, I think, in the school.
Yeah, but I think the Cruise, you've hit the nail on the head, so to speak. It's about small steps. Things aren't going to change overnight, and I think if you try and go down that route, I think that's where a lot of resistance comes from. I think it's very interesting how it's kind of how you're using that and showcasing the likes of the e-twinning projects and some of the other projects you're involved in to kind of bring people along. I also I'm conscious here of the time, and so I'm going to move. There's a couple of things I'd like to ask you about before we finish up. I noticed that one of the things you mentioned is that you've set up a school blog via the SchoolNet blogging service. What are you using that for?
Okay, that's a little bit of an interesting one. We have a website, a school website, which has run for a number of years, but the trend has been that the websites have become more static. And the pattern for the website was that a teacher would upload the information, and it will be maybe pictures of the children's work and so on.
Yeah.
But I kind of felt that it would be nice for the children to have some input into the actual running of some way of showcasing their own work.
Yeah.
So I set up the school blog as a link to our website, which is done through SchoolNet. And what we do is we have a class login for 5th and 6th class. And then if they, say, for example, put in, a school tour that they've been on, they write up some information about a school tour or a project or something that they've done, then they have to send it to me as an administrator.
Okay.
Just to have it approved, and then I will submit the information. So effectively, the children are running the blog, because all of the entries on the blog are written by the children. But it's done in a protected way, but it gives them real ownership of the blog, and
absolutely.
It's something they're very proud of.
Yeah, that level of vetting, though, Anne, needs to be there.
It does. Now, what the plan is for next year is to roll it out through more classes. It was really done, as I said earlier on, in small steps. It was really done on a trial basis, so we kept it to 5th and 6th from the point of view of writing the entries. But what we found this year is that other classes have come along and said, oh, we'd like to put something up. If somebody from, say, third class writes an entry, can we send it to the blog, to the fifth or the sixth class,
and to
their section, and let them edit it, and then submit it for approval and publish it that way. So that's worked out quite well. But next year we hope to have, say, for example, maybe second class up would be able to write their own blog entries and send them then to the administrator and send them out then for publication.
Right, do you envisage the blog eventually replacing the traditional school website altogether?
It's funny you should ask that, actually, Pat, because that subject has just come up in the school in the last week. What we've decided is that we're going to hold the website for the time being for information for parents.
Static.
So say, for example, timetables or policy documents or, details of school opening or closing or, events or whatever. Parents can log on to the website, but there's a link on the website that takes them directly to the blog and vice versa.
Right.
So we're going to keep the website as static information for parents and visitors, but the blog we envisage as being much more active. And I recently looked at the statistics on the blog, and I just couldn't believe that we have had over 6,000 hits on it since October.
Oh, my God.
So it's been popular, very, very popular.
And that's very encouraging as well, then.
It is very encouraging.
From your perspective, yeah.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of parents coming in saying, I saw so-and-so wrote something on the blog and we were really impressed because we didn't know that was happening in the school and, little tiny things. It might be just a photograph of work and maybe a visit of some person into the school or, a magician or something.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The children love it too.
This is the power of these tools, And just, I suppose you've explained to me there about, where your blog / school website is going to. But I suppose the overall picture, where now you're 3 years down the line, where now or what are the priorities going forward?
Okay, very important. We think in the next year we will have to sit down and make an e-learning plan. Because at the moment, really, I suppose, for the last 3 years, there's been a concentration on getting a workable amount of technology up and running, planting the seed for ideas, and getting the focus off the technology, even though we have actually had to focus on the technology to a certain extent,
yeah.
But taking the focus from the technology and on to actually how it's going to be used within the school. So we want to try and focus on, ideas that teachers can use, ways of teachers sharing resources, getting the technology to work for us, using the technology creatively, integrating it within whatever is happening already in the class, so not having such a focus on a class going out to a computer room as such, but having the activities that are, if they're done in the computer room, that's fine. If they're done in the classroom, that's fine, but have it linked into what's happening in the curriculum. And then I suppose from the point of view of sharing, we're developing the idea of maybe, having a staff tagging system through Delicious and developing maybe ideas through cloud computing, Google Apps, future creative projects, more e-twinning projects. There are two classes involved in dissolving boundaries projects this year. I'm doing a TeachNet project myself. So to try and, develop the enjoyment factor and to actually bring more of the Web 2 technologies into the classroom as part of the daily learning and to really focus on the quality of learning and to take the whole ICT integration forward, take it up a level.
Yeah, no, I know it sounds really interesting. I mean, you're involved in so many things and the idea that I think you're heading very much towards the day when the children won't even see the technology. It'll seamlessly integrate with what people are doing in their classrooms, and that's a big change from, I suppose, 9 years ago with when you arrived at the school. But Anna, time has beaten us here, so what I want, or if you could have even a couple of points and to our listeners out there, words of wisdom. As I said, you've been that soldier, you've been down, you started on this process, you're very much on the way to changing the landscape in your school as regards the embedding of technology. Have you any pointers?
I would have a couple of very simple things maybe that I could suggest. The first would be, don't be afraid to try out new ideas. To think positive about, the opportunities rather than the problems. The problems are going to be there and it is a learning curve and it does take time, but it will yield huge benefits. benefits in time to come. So if you look for the opportunities rather than the challenges, that will be very important. I think it's really so important to share ideas within the staff, with between other schools, even take the ideas outside of schools to other European countries through projects such as Dissolving Boundaries or TeachNet or eTwinning, and to communicate with other teachers, to network, because you get a huge amount of advice and help even from that, to take small steps and not to expect to change a school's policy or practice overnight with regard to ICT, and to reflect on, you know, developments over time. They will be just a couple of pointers that I would suggest, just having gone through the last 3 years.
and very, very practical, as well. Listen, Anne, thanks for giving us such a, I suppose, detailed insight into the road that you and your colleagues have followed out in the school. I'm sure many of our listeners will find it very beneficial, and hope maybe we could come back to you maybe in 12 months' time and see how things are progressing at that point.
No problem, Pat. Thank you very much indeed.
No problem, Anne.